Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master wealth builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business, born and raised in Riviera Beach, Florida. And we want to welcome you to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. After reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, I am thoroughly convinced that we are all leaving the diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds that we seek are found within us in our own hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, we are calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Our vision is to continue to shed a bright light on the wonderful, talented, smart individuals from our great city, Riviera Beach, Florida, and those who are impacting our wonderful city. And so welcome to the program. Today's guest is Dr. Julie Patel, Councilwoman of Riviera Beach, Florida, District 4, and J.D. Dixon. And we want to welcome our host and co-host, Dan Calloway and Steve White. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Hi, everyone.
Did I hear anything from Dr. Botel?
I said yes, good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here. And I love that you refer to diamonds, because we always think about Riviera Beach as a diamond in the rough. So it's a real great way to think about it.
Especially right now when they have a campaign out to reimagine Riviera Beach.
Yes.
Well, that's beautiful. One of the things that we're going to discuss, and it might be another show that I have to bring you back. Dr. Botel, years ago, before you ran the first time, I met with you, and on your left side, it was this other beautiful lady with all those beautiful hats, J.B. Dickerson. I had to take you all to the Pancake House on 45th Street, and after that, they tore it down. Our relationship, not only because you were commissioner, it was a friendship that we were getting the island and the inland together. And the first thing I need to bring up, you and JB have put together eight people from the island, and I got the eight from over on the inland. And we'll have our first gathering pretty soon over on the island. Our intent is to make sure everybody around the world know that the black and whites in Riviera are brothers and sisters, family.
That's right.
And I need you and JB just to elaborate a little on that. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's really important that we show people by being together at a variety of events, you know, by being out in the public together, people from Singer Island, people from the west side of the city, thinking about how we can engage in social justice, how we can remedy some of the ills that have taken hold in this country. And I was going to say over the last several years, but really it's been generations that we haven't had peace between us. And I think that if we come together, I'm selecting eight good, strong people who want to help, who want to be, to bring us together as a community. And so I'm so happy that you've given us this opportunity, Mr. Calloway, to think about how we can come together, how we can dialogue about better relations between both sides of our city. I mean, we have to be honest about it. There's a bridge between us, and many people think of that bridge as a wall. I think of it as a bridge that can bring us together, not something that separates us. So I think it's really important to send not only a real message of unity, but also symbolically to be appearing in public together so that we can say, look, we are a team here. We have eight people from the Singer Island area and eight people from the west side of the city, and we want to come together to help solve problems. So, JB, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think it's really important that people understand that what we hear about each other is the biggest on either side of the bridge. There are bigots on Singer Island, and there are bigots on the west side. And we all know that. But the huge number of people on both sides of that bridge are like us, are like these 16 people. And we can't afford to let those bigots be the stereotype for each of us.
Right.
That is beautiful. You know, years ago, they wrote it in, it was a write-up in the paper when Singers Island, Singers Island Civic Association, they honored Herman McCray and myself to be on that board. And neither one of us lived on Singers Island. We were the first to be put on the board. And I met a lot of people years ago. One of the things that it was critical that everybody wanted to stay in their own territory. Now, you just defined that, Doc, that just like Christmas coming up when we have our Old Holy Night extravaganza music and for Christmas and gospel music where we'll have Willie Spence, one of the honorees, to give us a rendition on something. You know, he just was the runner-up for American Idol, one of our heroes now. And, of course, we're going to have a setting where we all be seated together, since I'm in charge of that. The main thing about it, you mentioned we're going to show the world, and that's what we want to do, just not lip service behind closed doors. I'm glad that you all explained that, because we will not only just talk it, we're going to walk it. Now, let's get into Stony Brook. 2 weeks ago, I think it was, wasn't it, Steve, when we fed all those people 2 weeks ago on a Saturday?
Yes, sir, it was.
Yes.
Okay. The number one person in the line with Doug Lawson, who got all the food and was out there walking around, and you were there, Dr. Botel. You were right there. You didn't complain about the heat, everybody running around, and this, that, and the other. And one of the things that happened with you and the police chief and Doug Lawson, you all made a decision and got it clear. You're going to put an auxiliary police station there. Just tell us about that and the reason.
Yes. Well, you know, I was really pleased to be there that day. You know me, I like to get behind the line and serve people. I think of myself as a servant leader, and that's no better way than to serve food to people on a hot day when they really are hungry and need it. So it was a good thing to be out there with you and to provide so many people with a nice meal. But then Chief Osgood and I got together with Beatrice Nieves. Beatrice is the property manager over there at Stony Brook. And Chief Osgood said, you know, it would be great to have a substation, a police substation, right here in Stony Brook. So we took a look at one of the apartments. The substation is going to be in the second building over. I think that's Building P. P or Q. The building right next to where her office is, where Beatrice's office is. And they're going to gut the apartment, have some holding cells there, have an office or two. It's going to be wonderful because they'll have extra cameras out there to catch what's going on. You know, only people who are committing crime are afraid to have cameras around. Those of us who are not criminals welcome the cameras because we know we're not going to do anything wrong when they're being filmed. So it'll be good to have those extra eyes on what's happening over there. And Beatrice, property manager, is so welcoming, and I know the people over there who run the place will be very, very excited to have a police substation right there on the property so that immediately when something happens, they can take care of it. And not only will that substation be protecting Stony Brook, also the whole neighborhood over there, the entire area over off of MLK, will be better served by our police department by virtue of that substation there. So we're very, very happy about that, very excited that the chief and I were able to speak with Beatrice that day, and I'm very excited about how welcoming she was of the idea. So, that's going to be a great project.
Well, the other thing that we have a whole summer program, actually year-round, because that's one of the things that Steve, who is director of education, we have already had Beatrice to have a roster. They're signing up young ladies and young boys or young men from 13 to 17. We're going to have a tutorial program. Steve is going to be working with them with the reading and the math and sociology. But most of all, we're going to get two people from the health department to teach them about teenage pregnancy. One of the things that we have made a commitment that only way we can stop a lot of crime is cut down on teenage pregnancy. And we're going to give so many trips. You working on the slides, the water slides right now, your aid.
Right.
They're trying to get us tickets to take so many young people to the water slide. And somebody's working on, I think Doug is working on getting the water taxi to take four trips to Peanut Island. Now, just bring us up to date on that.
Well, you know, I have to say, just backtracking a little bit to when Stony Brook was the mess that it was in and Millennia was wanting to come in and take over, many people thought we should just tear it down, you know, just walk away from it. And other people thought, well, the tenants should be running it. My opinion was, let's let an outfit like Millennia come in and commit to doing the right thing, which would be to build a beautiful community center where we can offer these programs for 13 to 17-year-olds, where we can bring them together. I said at that time, shame on us as a community for turning our backs on the Stony Brook people for so many, many years. It was, we know what it was like over there, rats in the trees, mold everywhere. And these new apartments are beautiful. I'm sure you saw them the day that you were there. They are beautiful. And they're doing a great job. So let me get back to the community center. Once that community center is built, we'll be able to bring people in to do financial literacy. Steve will be able to come in and do tutoring. Other people who work with them can come in and do other kinds of programs. As you say, parenting, cooking. I want to put some raised garden beds over there. You know, we've been building a garden. JB and I have been building a garden on Singer Island, and we've got some of the volunteers who are willing to build raised beds, gardening beds for Stony Brook. Beatrice knows exactly where she wants to put them. We'll be able to teach people how to raise their own vegetables. We'll teach them how to cook them so they'll get fresh, organic vegetables to eat. So we really got a lot planned for Stony Brook, and I, as I said before, we cannot turn our backs on these people. These are, as I've heard you say, the least, the lost, and the left out. These are people who need our help, and they're good people. They are, you know, they just down on their luck and need a hand. You know, I've been accused of just going over there to give away Christmas presents and Easter baskets. Well, yeah, I do that too. But I'm also thinking about the educational programs we can bring for them, the job. I'm just starting a CDL program, a commercial driver's license program. I bet there are people over there who could learn to be a commercial driver and get and make a lot of money every year because that is a good-paying occupation, you know, along with the other kind of job opportunities I've created over the course of the last couple of years. We've got to help them. We've got to help them move out of Stony Brook eventually, move into a home of their own because they've got a job and they can pay a mortgage. But, yes, we really have to focus on those teen pregnancy issues. That's of paramount concern. As you said, I think it was you that told me one day you met a young woman who was, and you said, is that your child? And she said, no, that's my grandchild, or what, she was 31 years old or something. So we've got to put a stop to this cycle of having babies having babies. And we can do that. We can do that with education. We can do that with bringing in, as you say, people from the health department. We can make a big difference in their lives.
Well, so. the reason why I think right now we're going to have another show because of so many things, and who is better to help us make the decision is the people we elect to make the decision for us, our commissioners. And for you and Doug, I'm not pleased. I say it publicly. I need to see more action from some of your colleagues. I can't wear you and Doug out all the time. That's not. Maybe we'll make JB an auxiliary council person because she's always on the show.
I keep telling her I'm going to give her a raise, you know, because every time she gets
a raise,
I'm going to give herself a raise.
Right, Now, you 100%. Know the last week of June, we'll be back over there. I told Doug the other day, go get me 50 watermelons and get somebody to bring me 602 either cups of ice cream. But for 602 people, we're going to give them ice cream and cookies, or ice cream and cake and watermelon. That's the week before. That's tradition for me, who was born on S Avenue 82 years ago, putting there 83, for that time of year to have the fresh fruit of watermelon and ice cream. I grew up, we made our own ice cream. We had an ice cream churn. We knew how to do that. But those kids and those mothers and people were so grateful the other day when we were over there feeding them. Steve was right in the middle of them out there, helping out all of us. And we're going back again because that's one of the things, but we're going to show them the world is not only in those walls of Stony Brook. Like, that's why it's important to take them to, what is that, Peanut Island. They can see the land from the water. And most of all, they can go to the museum. And, of course, we will have their lunch right there at the event center. So when we get on the boat, all we have to do is just enjoy ourselves. And when we bring them back, we'll have another little snack. Now, do you approve of that?
Well, I approve of that, and I think it's great. That's great to be able to do it. I hope we can do it. I'm going to be out of town starting June 24th for a few days, but I'm hoping we can do it before I leave because I definitely want to be a part of that. And then the other thing we should talk about is we're going to teach people how to fish. And I know I've heard you say the old Chinese proverb: "You give a man a fish, he can eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, he can eat for a lifetime." And that's what we want to do. We want to get people.
Well,
I bet we can hook up with.
No, we have already made the boat at the foot of the bridge. We've already signed off, and I'm glad you brought that up because of even Steve going out on the boat. We got our fishing club. We gave our fish. Steve dropped off some fish the other day to some senior citizens, and we got about 100 hats we bought. Nice hat like J.B. wears. We're going to give it to your senior citizen right at Lindsay Davis. We picked up that yesterday. But what we also been delivering the fish. Every week there's calls from some citizen, do you have any fresh fish? Oh, that fish was so good. Steve attested that. He's one of the people who helped drop off fish. But the point is we're going to take 10 kids at a time, two trips out of North Warner, and you said you want to go, but we got what we call an evening sunset cruise, which I know we're going to take the 16 and ride on the yacht up and down that water, and then we can discuss a lot of things. That's one of the events we're going to have. We got all that on there. As your event coordinator was hired by Dr. Ann McNeil, the master builder. That's what I do, put on programs. As long as I got the support of you and the council and your main aide, J.B., I got the support of Ann McNeil and Steve. We make the decision. We just need, now Tuesday, I'll be meeting with your city manager, our city manager.
Good.
And then we're going to be really putting on something because what we're going to do is showcase Riviera. I didn't know I was going to get this far involved when Ann McNeil put us together. She the one created this monster. that when I'm bringing back all the former athletes, they're going to have the last, what's his name, Richard Blankenship, your recreation director, which I think is the best employee we have. He is going to allow us with the recreation department and work with us. We're going to bring all the guys back for 3 or 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday they'll leave and go back to their prospective places. And each one of the schools where the kids in Riviera, they go to, one day, and then in the Glades, too, don't let me tell you no lie, we're going to do it in the Glades simultaneously. because we got a lot of guys that I sent off to school and in the pros that lives in the Glades. They're going to go to the school at the same time. We're going to, I've already talked to Dr. Robinson, and we're going to get with the superintendent to have those schools designated to have an hour for the guys to come in there and talk to them about life, not by being a professional ball player, about life. Because right now we're having too many people killing. Young people got guns, were shooting at the police officers two or three days ago. See, what we're going to do with the PAL, the Police Athletic League, and your police department and our police department, we're not going to leave everything on them. We're going to go and work side by side, and they'll learn how to deal with the public, and the public will learn how to deal with them. And see, that's one of the things that you asked me to put together, and we're going to go public with that, since I do have a law enforcement background. Now,
I know.
Steve, now, I'm ready to turn it over to Steve. Your question, Steve, to these two.
I'm here. Hi, Dr. Botel. No, well, I think Mr. Calloway has covered quite a bit of what we're going to do. I think the biggest challenge we have and the one that will probably have the most impact is the work that we're looking to do in Stony Brook, of course. There's some really, really good people there, and just having an opportunity to bring some services to them. They've been ignored for far too long. We know that by the city, by the men of Stony Brook, et cetera. And so just being able to go in there and bring the mentoring program and bring the tutorial program is just what I'm excited about. So more than a question, that's just my comment, that I think that we have to really be steadfast on doing everything that we can to make those programs come to fruition.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Mr. Calloway just mentioned Ann McNeil, and I have to say I am so pleased with the contract and the agreements that were made. As you may or may not know, people who are listening, Ann McNeil and her organization won the contract to build the new fire station, which is going to be a state-of-the-art fire station out on the corner of Blue Heron and Congress, where we're just taking down the Walgreens now. That's going to be a beautiful, brand-new fire station. And part of what Ann McNeil has agreed to do is to hire and train local young people in the construction trades. And that is going to be more valuable than anything, having people trained to get those jobs and keep them and get good jobs. I recently had a meeting, and this also reminds me, I wanted to let you know, I had a meeting with some people who have the Dwyer Foundation, and they're concerned that the kids, that Riviera Beach kids who go to Dwyer don't get the same, they want to improve their educational experience. And they have a construction magnet up there. They teach high school kids construction trades. And, boy, I think it would be a nice connection to have the people from that foundation maybe get in touch with Ann McNeil and say, how can we maybe use some of these kids, especially if they're seniors and they've been in the construction magnet up there, you know, how can we begin to use them as part of some of these projects and really get them real-world experience? So that would be a great connection. I'll have to make that. I'll have to introduce Ann to the woman that I met with, Julie Litke Rubin, who's the head of that foundation. But
I think that an add-on to that is the kind of career counseling that can lead young people from Stony Brook and other areas of Riviera Beach to the kinds of careers that are A, realistic, and B, pay well.
Yeah.
So, you know, naturally every kid dreams of being, you know, the next rap star and the next basketball champion, but so few people are going to be able to do that. And the more that athletes and entertainers can join in with us and not so much be encouraging people to try to be the best basketball player in the world, but to become trained in something like construction, which is very, very big industry right now, as is the commercial driving thing, which is why Dr. Botel is sponsoring these classes to get your commercial driver's licenses. You can earn $100,000 a year as a truck driver. And I think that there's very little data out there which is taught to these kids about what are the hot up-and-coming industries like logistics. What does logistics even mean? I mean, I didn't even know the meaning of that when I was coming up, and I don't think it was an industry when I was coming up. So those are the kinds of things that we say, if you do this, this, and this, you can get a job in this kind of an area, and this is what it pays. Now, this is not, you know, this is what teaching pays or being, you know, because that's all most of the professionals that they see are teachers. So if they don't want to become a rap star or a basketball star, they usually want to become a teacher. And although teaching also has a lot of vacancies right now, there's a huge income gap between that and some of the other offerings. And so kids need to be aware of that, and their parents need to be aware of that.
Right. Beautiful. Before I get back to Ann, I need to bring up something that Marcia Andrews, one of the commissioners for the school board. We talked in length last week about what is the possibility of opening up North Tech. And I don't think that you all knew that, and Steve and Ann knew where North Tech was, right on Garden Road.
I know.
Oh, yeah, we're very familiar with that because they are their woodworking shop taught our volunteers, the students taught our volunteers how to make the raised beds for our garden.
Beautiful. Well, see, that's why we need that back, because it's less than 1% will ever go professional in a sport because of not enough jobs.
Right.
The career jobs, whether it's welding, plumbing, you know, electrician or whatever, and gardening. Everybody got a gardener. Nobody want to go out there and cut their own grass or something. They'll live in a place where somebody else doing it. The point is we got to teach the kids how to earn money early. When I was coming up, I was a caddy. I started caddying on the Gulf Coast at the Seminole in 1948. I was 10, shagging the balls. Then I ended up caddying for Ben Hogan for a long time. All through high school, most of us, we went up to the Gulf Coast. And the ones that didn't go to the Gulf went to Gulf Coast. They went out west, where they went out toward Belgrade, where they picked the beans, the tomatoes, the corn. And in those days, they had the people coming from Jamaica cutting the cane. So we got to figure out a way to give the kids jobs. Now, that's why we have an investment program. This is the reason why you all invested in one child. When you gave $240, both of you, and along with Dr. Bennett, a sixth or seventh grader going to get a year into an investment program. But by that time, we're going to teach those kids how to get a job to save their own $20 a month.
Yeah.
And of course, we got a famous young lady. I'm not going to call her name because I don't want everybody to take her away from me. But Ann knows her better than anybody because it's Ann's daughter. But she's going to I'm going to be calling a meeting. And, of course, Steve and Dr. Drayton, we all are on the board to put that together. And that's part of our tutorial program. That's one of the mistakes I made in my 82 years that I regret, because I didn't know anything about finance. And I know right now, if you don't know nothing about finance and you don't teach people at an early age, they're not going to save, and they're going to be out here looking for the government to give them a hand out and not a hand up. And we must stop that.
Right.
And
I met Ann's daughter. I was happy to meet her at the where were we at the
Yes, for the student dinner.
She's lovely.
Yeah.
And I'm excited that she's going to teach kids about finance. Boy, is that ever important.
Well, she's going to do that. And then Ann will always come in and supervise, too, because we must make some people wealthy. And especially starting in the sixth and seventh grade, can you imagine that? They'll be able to help pay their way through college themselves when they get out of school.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Can you Yes. Listen, I'm enjoying the conversation. I really am enjoying this conversation because being born and raised in the city, and interestingly, as I listen to everyone talk about North Tech, I think I am a poster child for North Tech because don't laugh too soon because I heard what JB said and I'm a contrarian. I like to say that up front so people understand when I start saying certain things, it is out of the norm, not normal in the sense that yes, Dwyer and many of the other schools, Suncoast and many other schools are bringing and you know, creating the very best, you know, scholarly students. But being one of those students that graduated with an undergraduate degree in accounting from a UNCF school in Miami, Florida Memorial, after leaving Riviera Beach, and a graduate of Suncoast High School before it became known as what we now know as the Suncoast, that everybody's trying to get in versus trying to get out, I finished my college degree and then went on to work at Pratt & Whitney, which is another story for another show because the racism was so deep. The guy there, when I first applied, told me they were not hiring any niggers and they were not hiring any women. So ended up getting a job there anyway, but while working on a master's degree, I went to North Tech to learn construction. And people always ask me now, 40-some-odd years later, how did you get into construction? North Tech. Why did you get into construction? Mm-hmm. North Tech. Why? Because those jobs paid more than I was making in my corporate job. But as a business, see, we talk about jobs, ladies and gentlemen, but seldom do we talk about teaching people how to become entrepreneurs from that job. And I don't think that any of us who have a job can, our children and our family members cannot inherit that job. But when we take that job from North Tech and teach our residents from Riviera Beach how to have a larger vision of themselves and how to have a business after working their job, I think that we will reduce recidivism in terms of increasing the likelihood that they will stay because they know there's something greater at the end of the tunnel and it's not another job. It's an entrepreneurship.
Right.
It's a business. And I think that that's how, to me, and we've talked about it on this show, those are my memories of Riviera Beach when I was born. I just saw everybody as a business owner because we couldn't go across the bridge. We couldn't go, you know, across the wall because my house was backed up against that brick that separated me from my white neighbors. And so because of that, we only had black businesses in Riviera Beach, whether it was the corner store or whether it was McCray's Barbecue or whether it was that truck that came through selling pots and pans because we couldn't go to the real store. So I just want to just encourage us and just say that this is a phenomenal show, and I really appreciate you, Dr. Botel, and also you, JB, for coming on and sharing with us because I also agree, too, that there is another side of the bridge that we are going to be talking to, like yourself, because hashtag Riviera Beach is for all of us. It's not just the black side or the west side of the bridge. It's for all of us. And so when we start bridging that gap with the bridge, if you will, and doing like what we're doing today and connecting people and resources, I think that we will become a better city. And this is why hashtag Riviera Beach Pride is so very important because, again, we want to have a better quality of life right here at home. So those are just some thoughts from me, but I would like to ask a question to each of you, and that is, what can I do to help support what you're doing as a part of what Dan and Steve and I are building? Because we do want to make sure that we're all, you know, singing from the same sheet of music, if you will, but all moving in the same direction. So if there's anything that myself or anybody else, you know, that's listening can do, if either one of you can think of that, please share.
Well, I will. You know, I would really like to tell you, and I can't give you a date right now, that we've been working for the last couple of years at Friends of Riviera Beach Schools, which Dr. Botel and I founded, and Mary Beth Coffer, who's on our board of directors. We have been collecting almost new furniture for Stony Brook, and we are going to furnish, we've been giving those furnishings to the people there as their new apartments become available, not having to take old stuff and maybe dirty stuff, you know, stuff that's been around for a long time, into their brand new places. We've been giving that furniture to them. And we're going to be furnishing a couple of model-type apartments when they have, like, a little opening when the last building is done. And so we certainly hope and that you will come and bring your friends, and that the group of eight on one side of the bridge and eight on the other side of the bridge will also be there. So that's one of the things that I hope you will come out and celebrate with us.
That would be great. And I also want to say, Ann, the kind of thing that you're doing with the Firehouse Project is exactly what we need. You and other folks who have businesses in construction, we need to train our people. You know, it's one thing to say we want minority and women-owned businesses to be hired. Yes, that's true. But if they're not trained, if they can't accept the jobs because they don't have the training, then it's all for naught. So we really have got to provide training. I would love to see you meet with maybe the Dwyer High School people and say, hey, how can a real live construction person help in that magnet they've got up there? And I'm just beginning now to have that relationship with the high school and their foundation. So I can't speak for them, obviously, but I'm thinking that as we go forward, maybe it would be great to even if I started a workforce development task force right after I got elected. And one of the things we did was we had business leaders come in and speak with the kids at JFK Middle School. Because as you know, our kids, we don't have a comprehensive high school in Riviera Beach, which I think is a shame, but we don't. Our kids go to five different high schools. Two of them are magnets, two of them are restricted, Suncoast and Inlet Grove, and very few of our kids actually end up going there. And the rest go to Gardens, Lakes, or Dwyer. So I wanted the eighth grade kids at JFK to understand what real world business people needed in terms of jobs and to understand which of those high schools they could go to get that kind of a career. So we actually had Ezra Saffold, and I know you know Ezra. Ezra came in on the day that we did construction. He came in and spoke to the eighth graders about what it's like to have a construction company, what kind of training you need to go through, and so on. That's the kind of thing that I would like to see more of, more business owners in our city willing to come in and speak with our eighth graders about what kind of jobs they have. What is it like to own your own business? What is it like to have we had Tropical Shipping come in and talk about logistics and transportation. You know, we had a whole variety of businesses come in. That's the kind of thing we need. That, and we need more mentors. We need people who are willing to take an hour a week, let's say, and spend some time with a kid who may not have a father figure, who may not have an intact family, or even if they do, it's just good to know that there's one other person. There's nothing like having a coach, if you will, a life coach, and that would be a mentor. So there's a couple of things that I would offer as suggestions.
Well, okay, what I'd like to do is step out on faith on behalf of Dan Calloway and Steve White and myself, and make a suggestion that on behalf of the Youth Recreation Association under the tutelage of Steve White, you know, we have a Riviera Beach speaker series in discussions, and what we can do is partner with you and your team in putting together that speaker series that we've already been discussing and see how we can get those individuals in and around our city to be willing to give an hour and come into the schools,
yes,
at different levels and do that. And
that'd
I know that Dr. Robinson and some of the other individuals on the school board would gladly work with us. And we've had a number of individuals on this program who are also doing some similar things. One of the things that we're doing in preparation for the Project Riviera Beach, we're putting together a stakeholders meeting. And so if any of you can think of anybody, I'll be reaching out to all of you. But we're going to pull that together first because we want to identify all of the resources that already exist so that none of us are duplicating resources that are already in existence, but we can add to or become strategic partners with those resources.
Yeah,
and that
great.
Will give us a better depth and breadth of providing service to those individuals. So this is going to be very, very exciting. So I'm very appreciative. And so, Dan, we can go ahead and turn it back over to you so we can have everybody
okay.
give their closing comments and we can wrap up. Thank you.
Well, the last thing I want to say, and this will be my closing remarks, because I'm going to be in the middle of everything until God calls me to a better place. But it's one thing I'm very appreciative of, people like Dr. Botell and Dr. J.B. Dickerson, because they're open-hearted. They were the first two at the dinner for the scholarship to come up and say, I will give $240. And then they end up talking to my other doctor friend, and she heard, more than likely when she heard you all call my name, she said, I'm going to give the same thing. I think that yesterday it was four people. We got 36 kids. And right now, with Derek McCray gave his consent, and right now we have 12. And I'll be meeting with Pastor Drayton, and I would hope that before June is out, we have all 36 people, the kids and everything, because I will set up a meeting next week with our director who's putting the financial system together. See, it's much easier to get the kids to put them in the what be any kind of career job, whether it's electricity, building, or painting, or whatever. But it's much more difficult for kids to invest and save money. We've got to do that. Because 9 out of 10 things, everything we have talked about, I've been a part of that. And I look at a lot of my things, that, and Steve can understand that, and then Ann can, because they all came up when I was running the recreation department. They were in and out of that. And never in my little mind I ever thought about telling anybody to save and invest, because nobody taught me. And so now, since I don't know, we're going to have the best people to do that, and we're going to stay with that. And I leave this with the two of you, and you all are my personal friends. Now, Dr. Botell, you know how I feel about you, because of, I always tell everybody the best elected official we have is Dr. Botell, and I don't bite my tongue about that, because everywhere I go, I got her with me, and she get it done. And then she got J.B. So as long as she got J.B., I got Doc. So the three of us going to survive. Now I got Ann. I got Ann right in the middle of this. So what I need you to do for me, Bill Conto, you don't have to ask him. I'll make a phone call Monday, and we'll get his money. I can tell you that right now. Bill Conto has been doing this all the time. All I have to do is tell him. But I'd like for you to be a conduit of one, to ask another buddy over there to do the same that you own.
I will. We will.
I think Steve's door is always open for as many students as possible. Is that right, Steve?
Yes, sir. So, yes, sir. The more we can serve, the better.
That's good. So anyway, I'm impressed, and my love is there for the two of you, and the four of us will have a dinner. And the baby of our group, yeah, she's the baby of that group, because that's Ann. Ann is the baby, because it'll be five of us. It'll be four besides myself. Now, can you imagine an old white-headed black man, 82 to 83 years of age, sitting there with four queens? No, that's a deck of cards. So it's really, this is one of my best time on this show, because I know you people. You, especially Dr. Botell, because you haven't turned me down yet. And I know Dr. Susan hasn't turned me down. I had forgotten all about it. I should be contacting her. But so you go with God, and if I need you all to come back after you get off vacation and give us an update, would you be able to do that?
Absolutely.
And maybe I'll bring all three of you back.
Anytime.
You tell Doc. Because I want Steve and Ann to meet Doc. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she's great. Susan is wonderful.
Susan,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm finished. I'm proud.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Calloway. It was a pleasure being with you. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Ann. Thanks, JB, for joining us.
And thank you all.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Everybody
bye-bye.
Have a good day. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
just want to remind everybody as we wrap up the show, you have been listening to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach with Dr. Julie Patel, J.B. Dixon, hosted by Dan Calloway, Steve White, and Ann McNeil, episode number 34. Thank you.